welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com.
Happy New Year's from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that does not mean that you have to drop the ball on your balls. It's time for you to bring sexy back in 2022 and step your game up with Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped to help them ring in the new year with the right tools for the job. Just go to manscaped.com and use code ALLSTEELERS for 20% off plus free shipping. It's a new year, new you, and a new you means no pubes. Derek, I used the travel bag at the Senior Bowl. Let me tell you, it was phenomenal. And I also felt like real classy because it was leather. How you feeling about your products over there, that big box of Manscaped?
Man, just grateful. I was grateful that they didn't make me pay for it. It was like $100 worth of stuff. It's awesome, man, especially like the trimmer.
Oh, yeah. The light is a little bit of a game changer. I don't want to say skeptical, but I was like, what is the point of this? And then I used it, and I was like, this is like using high beams in a dark room. This is fantastic. It's time to ramp up your exercise and grooming routine this year with Maximum Gains. A six-pack is a great New Year's resolution, but how about a six-pack for your balls? The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 contains six essential tools for the ultimate below-the-waist grooming routine. Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate nuts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2022 looks to be. It's also time to freshen up down there in the new year. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And for on-the-go freshness, after you leave the gym, you'll love the Crop Reviver Ball Toner Spray. Start the new year with a fresh set of testes, thanks to Manscaped. Manscaped even threw in their Shed travel bag to keep all your goodies stored comfortably. And speaking of comfort, the Manscaped anti-chafing boxer briefs are also included and will bring your boys down south to the next level. Manscaped also wants you to go beyond the groin this year with their new refined cologne, which offers a light yet masculine, pleasing fragrance. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALLSTEELERS at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALLSTEELERS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and just use the code ALLSTEELERS. Have no regrets this year with our friends at Manscaped. Derek, I thought we were just going to be talking about the Senior Bowl today. First off, how was your week? I'm back from the longest flight of all time. Shout out Pensacola for keeping me alive, well, and warm for the last 24 hours.
Man, I had a lot better week than you did. I mean, I had to work. I had to work here at home, but it was a lot better than spending, you know, 2 days or whatever y'all spent in the airport.
It was rough. It was a little exhausting, but I think for one, me and Smitty are now friends for life. I don't think, and if anything, we're blood.
Brothers.
Like, but yeah, brothers. And at the same time, I hope I don't see him again for like a whole year because I've had enough of everyone for pretty much everything or forever. But that's okay. It is what it is. Meanwhile, we're sitting around. I'm a little grateful that we had nothing to do because for some reason, Jimmy Garoppolo's name just got tossed out there left and right, all surrounding the Pittsburgh Steelers. This time, I think it sounds maybe a little bit more realistic. Matt Lombardo, national reporter over at FanSided, and said that the Steelers are making a strong, quote-unquote, strong push for Jimmy Garoppolo and that the asking price is either a second-round pick or a third-round pick and a player. Before we even get into questions, what are your thoughts on this strong push for Jimmy G?
Well, for one, the Niners played this like perfectly this year. I mean, they proved that you can win games with Jimmy G. And the pick that they gave up for Trey Lance ended up being like late first round. Yeah. And now they're going to get value for Jimmy G in return when they deal him. So as far as the Steelers, if Jimmy G was a free agent, this is a totally different conversation. I would just say whatever, you pay him $15, $20 million, or whatever the market value for Jimmy G would be, and let it play out. If he needs to be the bridge guy, let him be the bridge guy. But it's different, I think, when you talk about having to trade actual assets for him. For one, Jimmy G's like the antithesis of what Mike Tomlin, Mr. Rooney have talked about wanting at the quarterback position. Anytime Jimmy G has to make a play out of structure, it's absolutely ugly. I mean, like worse than last year, Big Ben ugly. Anytime Jimmy leaves the pocket and looks to throw downfield, I mean, you saw it in the playoffs. Like, he had multiple balls that should have been picked off when he's trying to scramble. He's just not very good out of structure. And I really worry about, like, I think Jimmy is like a baseline starter at the NFL level. But I really worry about Jimmy away from Kyle Shanahan, because I don't think I need to explain to Steelers fans the difference between a Shanahan offense and a Matt Canada offense. So I'm all the way out. If it's a second or third round pick, I mean, those need to be long-term starter selections for the Steelers, who have a ton of holes, not just at quarterback. So I'm all the way out on a trade for Jimmy G if that's the cost.
Yeah, I definitely believe that. And I agree. I think that, for one, it seems that when Jimmy G leaves, like goes to make a move on the run, it's like almost always an interception. And I think that that's kind of like overlooked, just like you said. It's like Derek Carr. Like, people are using the Derek Carr example. What, the longer a play opens up for most quarterbacks, the higher the percentage that it's going to be a completion becomes. For guys like Jimmy G and Derek Carr, that just means the complete opposite. The longer that they have the ball in their hands, the more dangerous it becomes that the defense is going to end up with the football. And, I mean, you have a bad offensive line. You're going to go into this season with a bad offensive line. Even if it improves, it's not going to be great. You still don't really know what the running game is going to look like outside of Najee Harris. And as of right now, your wide receiver options are Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and a bunch of practice squad guys. That's not really a combination for success. It's not somebody that you go, oh, Jimmy G's a playoff guy, he'll just get this team to the playoffs. Well, the 49ers have one of the best defenses in football. They have Deebo Samuels, who is whatever you want to call him, but he's everything. Brandon Ayuk, who's another great wide receiver, and George Kittle. That's not anything that the Pittsburgh Steelers have.
It's a totally different set of weapons, a better offensive line. And the problem, like, even when you're talking about drafting like a first round quarterback or trading a second or a third for Jimmy G, like, when you're allocating those resources towards the quarterback position, that means you're not spending those resources on upgrading this offensive line. And that really, really needs to be priority number one for the Steelers this offseason. I know for me personally, I cannot watch a fourth straight season of terrible offensive line play. I cannot.
No,
I will lose my mind.
It's good. Yeah. That's where a lot of people, I think, are going with this. It's like, oh, well, if you trade for Jimmy G, and I'm not going to say Steelers fans, because I've seen Steelers fans everywhere just be like, nah, that's just, could we just,
I'm pretty proud of Steelers fans. Cause I think this is a topic where they've definitely been level headed.
I agree. Nobody's like, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers, he's coming to Pittsburgh. Everybody's just like, all right, it's Jimmy G, let's relax. Let's, how about no? But people who are making that argument is saying, well, you could spend a first round pick on an offensive lineman. Well, the Steelers need three offensive linemen, and that's if you have faith that Kendrick Green or Kevin Dotson is a starting guard in the NFL. So that doesn't change. And second, Jimmy G's under contract for 1 year. So you're going to take on another quarterback contract, which means that you can't go out and make a splash in free agency. And then after the season, you have to figure out your quarterback situation again. Yes. That just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, really a trade for Jimmy G. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is in the same boat in my book.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to trade for a quarterback on an expiring contract, you have to extend them, because there's no way, like, a bridge quarterback, regardless of what you feel like Jimmy G is, I feel like I'm a smidge higher than everybody else is on Jimmy G. But, like, still, he's a bridge quarterback or a baseline starter. You can't trade a third or a second round pick for a guy that you're going to play for 1 year. I mean, if you're doing that, it needs to be, you need to be getting like an elite player, and you're just not. And they need to be in a Super Bowl window, and they're not. So
yeah, exactly. To trade for a veteran, I mean, I feel like Aaron Rodgers, you can make an argument at all times, no matter what the situation is. You can just be like, well, it's Aaron Rodgers. You know, at the end of the day, it's Aaron Rodgers. Jimmy G's not in that classification, but if it's out there, second, third round pick, I think we can both agree, still not worth it. If they decided to, which I don't think they're going to. who would that so-called player be? Is that just automatically Devin Bush? If no matter who you trade for it at any point at this, is it just automatically Devin
Bush? I've seen people throw like Devin Bush's name in there. I've seen people throw like Chase Claypool's name in there.
Chase
like,
Claypool.
I feel like Steelers fans like sometimes will throw like players that the majority of the fan base isn't very high on, and then throw them in trades to act like the team receiving that player is going to like them any more than we do. Like I think the majority of the Steelers fans understand that Devin didn't have a good year. Chase was mostly disappointing this year for the amount of time that he played. Like, I mean, that doesn't mean that San Francisco is going to want magically Devin or Chase. Like, well, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think you can trade bad players for and expect a good return. I mean, it's
not. And what do you – like, if you get rid of – I mean, Devin Bush doesn't make any sense at all for San Francisco because you've got him Fred Warner. And you're like, oh, well, you know, let's just add another first round pick that stinks and has 1 year left on his contract. And Chase Claypool, if you trade Chase Claypool and you're going to bring in Jimmy G, you're telling me. Yeah, like you're just like, all right, Pat Freiermuth and Deontay, have fun. Go ahead. Anthony Miller, I guess,
he's got some upside. 250 targets.
it doesn't make any sense. There isn't a player. I think that's at the end of the day, the Steelers don't have a trade guy. They have none of them. Like unless you're going to be like
normally when you see like teams throw a, like for one player trades like player for player are really rare in the NFL for a lot of reasons because whenever you're trading a player, you're creating another need. And the Steelers have so many needs right now. They don't have a plethora of depth at like any one position. I mean, What position do you feel great about their depth right now? I mean, your question's at every single level on both sides of the ball. So, which that's the thing, that the Steelers roster is just really, really top heavy. And that just, it is what it is. And hopefully this draft and this offseason will fix that. But as of right now on paper, they're really top heavy.
Yeah, there's not depth at one single position on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Unless somebody considers Joe Schobert an option for a trade. But if you're giving up Joe Schobert for Jimmy G, I mean, pull the trigger. That's just sure. You get him here. But that's what I mean. There's just no, like, you know, so all these reports of like, oh, a second round pick. Well, why would this NFL draft is so stacked that you're just like, oh, I'm going to give up a second round pick for a quarterback that can't win a Super Bowl this year because we're not ready to win a Super Bowl this year. Or we're just going to give up a third round and a guy that we just don't have the ability to give up. Even if it is Devin Bush, if you got rid of Devin Bush, the Steelers have literally zero inside linebackers, but you're just going to send Buddy Johnson out there.
Zero good ones.
Yeah. Like you're just going to be like, okay, yeah, buddy, go ahead, man. You're the answer. And I don't know. I don't think any reports at this point actually have looked at who the Pittsburgh Steelers are and said, yeah, this makes sense. So I don't know. I don't think a strong push could be the move for anybody. And at the same time, and this is a good transition, Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert spent the entire week not on the phone with San Francisco, but at the Senior Bowl, literally drooling over Malik Willis. So that, at no point did you say, oh, well, he looks like he's on the phone with John Lynch over there. That's what Kevin Colbert is. No, he's talking to Malik Willis's parents over on the side, which is a good question. Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, I think we've gone past the whole who's number one, who's number two, and I think the conversation should just turn to, are either of them going to be available at 20? Because a week ago, we felt way better about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think common sense told you that Malik was going to show out at the Senior Bowl for a couple of reasons. For one, Malik's the most athletically talented of this quarterback group. It's a really bad quarterback class, but he's the one like toolsy kind of prospect that's really out there that has the incredibly high upside. I mean, Malik has top eight quarterback in the NFL upside. I mean, I think that's for sure. He has really
Did
good.
You say top eight?
Yeah. So I have this theory that there's like eight quarterbacks that are going to basically elevate other people. And then I think after that, like eight mark is when you get into like the Matt Stafford territory to where if they're around good players, they're going to play well. And then everything else is just like, really, you're just a product of your surroundings.
Who are like, those eight Willis, players?
Huh?
Who are those eight players? Just real quick. I won't dive into them, but who are those eight players?
Like I would say like the Mahomes, Rodgers, Deshaun. I think, I don't know if I'd put Kyler in that category. I definitely believe in Herbert. I think you could throw, I guess. I mean, Burrow, I think this postseason run has been incredibly lucky, but I still think you've got to put him probably in that fringe category. Brady just retired, but I still am a believer that, like, he could have done it. I mean, just because he's always done it. Guys like that. I think you got to have, like, the type of talent to elevate others and overcome, like, deficiencies on, like, your team. And I think Malik has that. I don't believe Kenny Pickett has that. And we're talking about ceilings. Like, I think Pickett has the higher floor and the less bust potential. But I think Malik has legitimately higher upside. And if I'm taking a quarterback ever, I'm always going to take big swings for upside, for me personally, because I don't think we're having the Jimmy G conversation. And I think Kenny Pickett's more like both in play style and in terms of like career trajectory, maybe like a Derek Carr, like to where he's going to probably be a 15-ish best quarterback in the league at his absolute peak, and he's going to be good. But after like 4 or 5 years, after you have to start paying him non-rookie salary money, I think you're always going to be like, man, I wish we had a little bit more than what we've got right now. Like, I wish he was a little bit better. I wish he could elevate others just a little more to take us over the hump. I just don't see that type of upside with Pickett. Now, with Willis, I mean, you fixed the lower body mechanics and, you know, fixes some of his issues, like dropping his head when he's scrambling, and some of the accuracy issues, trajectory issues that he's kind of had on tape the last 2 years at Liberty. You're going to have yourself a special, special player. Like, Josh Allen's another guy that I definitely
didn't think about Josh Allen, but that,
but definitely Josh Allen.
But
like those type of players, like I think Malik has the potential to potentially be in that category.
Yeah, I agree. I think Malik, especially this side, like you did more diving into Malik Willis before the Senior Bowl than I did. I knew who Kenny Pickett was. I've always compared Pickett to, I don't know, like I feel like a lot of people get upset when you compare anybody to Baker Mayfield, but I think Baker Mayfield's a good quarterback who doesn't really have a huge ceiling, and I think that's who Kenny Pickett is. He's a guy that can immediately come in. He's got a really good attitude. He's got like that leader mentality, and he's going to make some cool things happen and rally a team. But at the same time, I just don't think that he's coming in here to win a Super Bowl on his own. Malik's got that talent.
Yeah, so I think Pickett's spectrum, and it's kind of wide for me because, I mean, you never know how a player's career is going to play out. But I think Kenny's upside to floor kind of probably sometimes will rotate in between, like, this year's Derek Carr, where they were, like, a fringe top 10 quarterback, maybe, and then Minnesota Teddy Bridgewater. Both in play style and like ceiling to floor, I think that's probably what you're going to get for Kenny Pickett.
That is,
I know Steelers fans. There's a lot of Pitt fans that have been on my case about that, but I truthfully don't see it, man. I don't see like high upside or top tier upper echelon starter with Kenny Pickett. I just don't.
I think that was really evident too. Like you watched these guys at the Senior Bowl this week and you saw that just from the jump, like Kenny Pickett was the most comfortable guy on the football field. He wasn't doing anything like crazy wrong. He was always very consistent. But like Malik Willis was like balling out at times. Like the day in the rain, Malik had himself, like he just showed like, yeah, I could win. You know, I could be a star. When Kenny was just like, I'm going to be consistent.
Yeah, you don't even have to watch. I mean, you don't have to watch either of their games for more than a half of football to tell that the ball comes off of each of their hands completely different.
Yeah.
100%. Malik legitimately has like a rocket launcher attached to his right shoulder. Pickett has like – Pickett has, I think, Burrow-like arm strength where it's like it's good enough, but it's not good.
Yeah,
I agree. Which is fine. And you can get away with that, and you can even be – like, it's really freaking difficult to be an elite quarterback, in my opinion, without elite traits. But, I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, Brady, you know, a good example of that for the majority of his career. I don't think anyone would say that he had, like, an elite arm. But, again, when you're betting on, like, historical outliers. Like, if it's me, I'm always going to take big swings at quarterback. I want the high upside guys because if they bust, I mean, it's all the same. You're looking for a new quarterback anyway. And I just think there's a chance that with like Pickett in like 4 or 5 years, I just think you're going to be wanting more than what you've got. And you're going to be in the same boat as if you take Malik and you can't develop him.
Do you think that either of them are going to be there at 20?
Doesn't sound like it. I mean, I do really believe that the Steelers are infatuated with both of them. The Pickett thing, I mean, I think they like – if I had to pick like three quarterbacks that I think they would take, it's those two and Sam Howell. I think the Howell thing is really interesting to me. Colbert
saw Howell looked terrible this week.
Yeah, and Colbert saw him multiple times through the season. There might be some value with Howell if he slips into the second round. I think the Steelers might pull the trigger if Malik and Kenny are both gone in the first. I don't know if they're going to be there in 20. I mean, there's reports out there. Of course, it's draft season. So every team other than the Steelers uses smoke screens. So like Carolina's infatuation with Kenny, is that real? I mean, they pick at 8. I can't imagine trading up for a quarterback in this class after they didn't trade up for Justin Fields when he was like free falling last year is going to send me over the edge personally. But if they do it, at least do it for Kent, at least do it for Malik, because if you hit and you think he's the guy, elite quarterbacks that elevate others around him. We just saw it with Ben Roethlisberger for 2 decades. Like, those guys are worth their weight in gold. So if you get it and you hit, it's worth it. Nobody's ever going to complain about the trade up. But you've got to be really freaking confident, because that's a big gamble, because it's going to cost you. I mean, if they move up even from like 20 to 10, it's going to cost you another first round pick next year.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, that's the question. If another first round pick next year, we don't know what that draft's going to look like, but there is a lot of talent coming out. You could sit at 20 and you could find a star at like a number of positions in this draft. That's how deep it is at so many positions. And you have to weigh that, you know. You have to go, all right, do we need a star quarterback that has a high ceiling but definitely needs to develop, or can we wait around? And I think a name, you said Howell. I really don't like Howell. I agree with you that the Steelers are infatuated by him, but I just really don't like Sam Howell. Desmond Ridder or Ritter's a name that, I mean, he said he was working with Jesse Palmer. I thought that was huge. He highlighted like how he's working on the lower half of his body, which I definitely liked. But like, there are names in the second and third round that you could draft and say, okay, well, this guy's not going to be a star, but I mean, there's potential there, at least some potential, and then you could use that first round pick on something else.
And I even think Ritter has, like, I think other than Malik, if you fixed Ritter's accuracy issues, and I really don't know how to do it, I'm gonna be honest with you, because his mechanics over the course of his career at Cincinnati, I thought they got better. Like, his lower half space can more connected. They're more consistent, but holy, I mean, the accuracy is just terrible. I mean, especially like underneath, I mean, he misses layup after layup, and then he'll surprise you by just throwing an absolute dime over the middle. But if you trust your quarterback development, he's a guy that like you could invest in day two. And maybe you have something, I don't know, but I'm skeptical, because it does. I'm happy that they're doing due diligence on everybody and not closing the door. The one thing that I think is interesting about the Malik situation, though, is like Rooney's comments about not wanting a runner, like, or not wanting a guy that was going to be heavily involved in the run game. I don't remember the exact quote, but that immediately made me think, like, when they spent so much time with Willis this week, which I was glad, it's weird, because if you take Malik Willis and you're not using him as part of your run game, at least in like short yardage or third down scenarios, you're wasting that kid's talent. Because, I mean, he's not Lamar in terms of running ability, because Lamar's a lot cat-like quicker and laterally more agile. But Malik's strong in his lower body. I mean, he runs through tackles. If you're not at least using him sometimes throughout the game to pick up first downs, you're wasting that kid's talent. So that's interesting to me. But
I agree with that, and I caught that when he did say that. But at the same time, I know that Mr. Rooney has the final say in anything that the Pittsburgh Steelers do. But I also feel that he is more of the old school style guy, where as in Tomlin and Colbert kind of understand like
games change.
Things are changing, you know what I mean? We'll just kind of let him talk and, you know, do what he wants to do. But, like, even if he doesn't have the final – he will have the final say, but that doesn't mean that Tomlin and Colbert don't have a major, major influence on convincing him that a guy like Malik Willis could be involved in the running game a little bit more. And that's the other thing. It's not like he's Art Rooney will never design an offense ever. He's never done it before. He does have the final say in free agency and in the draft, but he does not. He's not in Matt Canada's ears on Sunday going, all right, run a jet sweep. You know, that's not what his job is. So I think that I don't know. I think that's something that, like, yeah, it was said and I agree and it did catch my attention, but it's kind of just like, okay, yeah, it is what it is. With both those, I don't know if they'll be there at 20. I think this is a conversation we'll have. I think we'll know more at the combine. I think after the combine, we'll have a better understanding because I think there's a chance Kenny Pickett kind of throws himself deeper into the first round. And I don't think that's a conversation yet, but I think it's one that could happen at the combine just because of how he'll look compared to Willis moving forward. But at the same time, I think that there's a chance that those two could separate themselves from the pack so much that teams like the Panthers and the Denver Broncos and the Washington Commanders, not the football team, the Commanders, the Tampa Bay Bucks, you know, those guys could be like, okay, well, we need a quarterback, so we need to make something happen. And then there's the Pittsburgh Steelers. There are other positions that I think stuck out a lot at the Senior Bowl. Running back and wide receiver were two of them. People talked a lot about the defensive line and the edge rushers, which Jermaine Johnson was bar none. He was so far above the talent at the Senior Bowl. It was absurd. But a lot of running backs and a lot of wide receivers stood out, including your guy, Christian Watson, who you texted me about when I was on my way there. I never really heard a ton about him. And then I watched him all week and I was like, this dude, he's 6'4". He moves way better than Chase Claypool. He's faster than Chase Claypool. And he just looks very confident. Another guy that stood out at running back was Rashad White, but I don't know how early he's going to go. I hope he does slide. And then Brian Robinson obviously looked very good as well. The question is, how early do you approach these things? How early do you approach a backup running back or even another addition to the wide receiver group?
Yeah, I think running backs got to wait until day three just because they got too many other issues. I mean, they could elect. I wouldn't even hate them like spending $2 million in free agency to get a backup running back for Najee. You just can't play him 85% of the snaps and then expect him to be healthy come playoff time if you're even lucky enough to make it next year. Now, as far as like other positions, I think receiver is a option in round two. Like that's the early. I don't think they would take one in round one. The only guy that would make me think kind of hard about it though is Jameson Williams in round one. But that's a whole different story. I really, really doubt they'll take a receiver in round one. Now, day two though, starting at 50 or wherever their second pick is, 52. I definitely think it's in play. Like if a guy like Jahan Dotson was there, or even like a guy like Chris Olave or somebody like that was to fall, like I definitely think there's some potential there that they could take a receiver. I mean, Juju's free agency, you don't know what's gonna happen with that. Chase had a disappointing sophomore season. Deontay set career highs across the board, but the last 5 weeks of the season was pretty terrible. So they're definitely gonna need to add to that room, especially a speed guy. That's why Watson really intrigued me going into the week. Back in 2019 when I was studying Trey Lance, he just popped on tape. The dude's a different type of athlete. Being legit 6'4", and he topped out at 23 miles per hour on their GPS tracker back in 2019. That's a big boy that can really move. So
very, very fast. Dude, and he moves so smooth. Like his cuts in and out are just – I mean, just from the jump, like when they were doing individual drills, I was like, why is this guy the smooth? He's 6'4". He's clearly bigger than everybody else on the football field. Why is he moving smoother than any other wide receiver out there? Another name later in the rounds that I think people got to start paying attention to is Bo Melton from out of Rutgers. Yeah, right from from day one, I started thinking this guy looks a lot like Deontay Johnson, bigger, but a lot like Deontay Johnson. But that's the thing, like, you're saying second round, that's where it starts. How late can they wait? Like, Watson's not going to go early in the draft.
Yeah, I don't think they wait too far into day three if it gets there. I don't particularly. I think Watson's really settled in day two, though. Like, I think after the Senior Bowl week, I mean, that's what's good about the Senior Bowl. Like, you're trying to give everybody – an equal playing field, and a guy like Watson really needed that because level of competition when you play at North Dakota State is always going to be a question for NFL evaluators. Can you do this against other guys that are going to be playing on Sundays? Not that level of talent. So I think he definitely proved that. There was a PFF writer, I know I'm giving praise to them, which is crazy. But he actually pointed out, made a really good point about Watson's like flexibility for somebody that big. I mean, ridiculously great off the line of scrimmage this week. And you talked about in and out of his breaks. Normally guys that are that big really struggle on like comebacks and getting in and out of breaks. And sometimes, you know, quick releases off press. He did all of that amazing this week, and I thought he showed that on tape too. So another guy that I will say about receivers that intrigues me for the Steelers is Khalil Shakir from Boise. Yeah. He's a guy that's probably going to make a home in the slot at the next level. Boise got him the ball on jet sweeps, screen passes, does a lot of the same stuff that Juju does with the ball in his hands. Maybe not as powerful, but he can run through tackles. He's a hard guy to bring down. Had some of the craziest highlight catches that I saw this year with the ball in the air, high point in the football. I'm a big fan of his too. I don't really know where his stock is. I kind of, when I was watching him play live and then looking at some of his tape, I thought that he looked like a round three or four guy. So he could be an option. I don't know how he's going to test, but really, really good player that I like a lot if you're looking for a guy to replace Juju kind of in the slot if you want to keep Chase outside.
Okay, so that's a good way to transition into to the last position groups that I wanted to talk about, and that's the cornerback and the offensive line, because I think we all agree that both of those are very high on the list. I think above wide receiver, running back, I kind of agree. It's a later round thing. I would love for a guy like Robinson or Rashad White, which I don't. I think they're going to be second round guys. But if they could sneak into the third, fourth round, I think you have to consider them. Like, I'm not saying you have to draft them, but you have to consider a guy like that, especially like Rashad White can return punts. And that's, you know, Ray McCloud is what it is. And it's kind of funny. We haven't mentioned him one time in this conversation of the Steelers wide receivers, but like you could remove Ray from punt returner and get a guy like Rashad White. Wide receiver, running back, all there. Offensive line, cornerback. Because offensive line and cornerback are so deep in this draft, maybe more cornerback than offensive line. Is that something that you could consider and say, okay, we could wait, find a guy like Cam Sutton in the third, fourth round, and then grab a wide receiver? Or is that just terrible game plan? You're totally avoiding a major issue.
I really just think it depends on the board. Like if the quarterbacks are off the board in round one, and we'll go through a gazillion scenarios before April. But, you know, I personally wouldn't shy away from taking a corner in round one. I love this cornerback class. I think it's got everything you want. I think it's got the potential superstars and Derek Stingley and Andrew Booth, not necessarily in that order for me. But you've got other really high end cornerback ones like Sauce Gardner, potentially Kyrie Elam from Florida. None of those guys were at the Senior Bowl. There was a guy that was at the Senior Bowl that I'm really intrigued by, Roger McCreary from Auburn. He's going to slide because his measurements were predictably bad, which we already knew coming into the week, but everybody's freaking out because that's what they do. But the lack of length kind of reminds me a little bit of Cam Sutton. Cam Sutton's a guy that doesn't have a lot of length at the corner position. But I think McCreary, just the way his change of direction and movement skills are on tape, I think he can stick outside. And I think that he's going to slide out. I mean, he's going to be a day two guy, but I think he's got cornerback one potential. You can go back and look when he matched up with Ja'Marr Chase back in 2019. I won't say that he didn't blank Chase or shut him down, but, like, he won a lot of reps. He got an interception on a deep ball that was thrown his way. He had a couple other pass breakups. Like, it's a really good player who's capable of being like an outlier, I think, at the next level. Another guy that I like that I think had a really good week, at least from the one-on-ones that I was able to see, is Kobe Bryant from Cincinnati. Yeah,
Kobe Bryant had a good
Everybody loves Sauce Gardner, and I get it. The way that he moves for a bigger corner it's definitely different. But Kobe, man, every time I watch Cincinnati, and they got a lot of really good players over there, Darian Bevers, Majai Sanders, a lot. They have tons of NFL talent on that defense. It's incredible. But Kobe was the guy that kept sticking out when I was watching tape on other guys. When I was watching Sanders, I kept noticing Bryant. So he's a guy that's probably going to go on day two as well. So you can get good corners all the way through this draft. I mean, it's a really good corner class.
Yeah, it definitely is. Kobe was a guy, again, on the list. Okay, I have to be honest. So when I left, I texted you and I said, hey, send me some guys. Who am I watching for? And when I landed, your text came through like four times and I didn't like read it suddenly. And I was just like, dude, Derek just sent me like 100 people to look at the Senior Bowl. But the person that stood out at the most, I think, outside of Watson, I think Watson stood out the most. Kobe was a dude that right from the jump, you just saw like, he's just a natural defender. Like he has instincts to play a wide receiver one-on-one, which I thought was huge. I think another guy is straight out of Pitt is Damari Mathis. I think he's a dude. Yeah, like he's going to be a day two guy who I think can play in both the slot and outside, and I think he plays them both very, very well. Pitt's defense is atrocious schematically, so to put him in an actual good defensive system, I think could change the whole like the whole landscape of his career. But that's it. I'm just like agreeing with you that they're so deep. I would love for them to go cornerback round one if that's there. I think an offensive lineman is a better option in the first round if there's no quarterback available, because a guy like Zion Johnson, especially after I saw him take center reps, was just like, there's so much versatility here that you can't pass that up. And then but even then you could wait until the second round. I talked to Max Mitchell out of Louisiana, played with Kevin Dotson, and he said, like, I can play both the left and the right side, and I have experience at guard. Like, that's a guy that the Steelers would just love to have to build off of. You don't need to do anything crazy year one, but you could just plug him in, just like they did Dan Moore, and just say, yo, develop. Because No matter who the offensive line is, they're going to need to develop. Mitchell, I don't know how deep that is, though.
Mitchell's interesting, too, because he weighed in under 300 pounds. Like, he could easily, yeah. I mean, you want him at the next level. You want him to put on 10 to 20 pounds of muscle, like in his first, you know, year and a half in the league. I'd be remiss too. I mean, we'll talk about this guy, but he wasn't at the Senior Bowl. But if one of the guys that's like a no-brainer for me, and I don't care, this would be one of the only players that, like, if he's on the board, I'm taking him. I don't care who else is on the board, is Andrew Booth from Clemson. Like, I know it seems like for me, I have Booth that corner one over Stingley and Gardner, but it seems like NFL circles lean a little more towards Gardner and Stingley and then Booth at three. Just the way the draft could fall, I mean, if he fell to 20, it wouldn't, if Pickett was there, it wouldn't matter for me. I'm taking Booth because I think he has superstar potential, and I think that's really valuable for a defense. As far as offensive lineman, I thought Zion Johnson from Boston College was the best offensive lineman that I saw there this week. I know Trevor Penning had a good week, you know, getting under a guy's skin. I think he did show some stuff beyond just getting in people's heads. But I thought Zion Johnson was by far the best offensive lineman. I think Mitchell's intriguing as a developmental prospect too. But I'm just not really sure if I'm all the way in on him earlier than like day three, just because I think he's got a little bit of work to do.
Yeah, I agree. But that's kind of like where I was going with that. Like, there's, even if there is developmental piece, I mean, I think Dan Moore kind of put it in my head this season that you could build a guy like that, you know what I mean, who has the attributes to become something very good. I think that you could build on that. And the offensive line, I'm under the assumption that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to have to struggle for a little while. I don't feel good about that assumption, but it just is what it is. It's the reality of the NFL. And when it comes to these guys, you find a superstar in day one, you find a superstar in day one. I don't care who it is, you find a superstar in day one. Once you get later, you're just plugging guys in, and you're not going to fix this whole team in one draft, unfortunately. I do agree with you on Booth, and I think that there's a number of guys at a number of positions on the defensive side of the football that you could say, yeah, okay, if he's there at 20, I'm not passing him up. Booth, I think, would definitely be up there. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of talk about this 20, and I think that Pickett and Malik Willis are going to decide that over the next couple of weeks. When we go to the combine, if Willis balls out to the point where he's like the true-blooded number one corner or quarterback, excuse me, and then Pickett balls out, and you're like, okay, well, I mean, he kept up with them at least, you could think, okay, quarterback is definitely an option. If you're looking at this in a month and you're saying both of these guys are good players with decent ceilings, but neither of them are really superstars right now, there is just so much talent that's going to be in that first round that I just don't think I just don't think you can pass it up. I felt like that for a long time, and I don't think that's going to change at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's not – it. There could be – I mean, there's always a flip side or a positive spin you can put on it. If Willis and Pickett are gone and, you know, maybe another quarterback like a Matt Corral from Ole Miss, you know, who wasn't at the Senior Bowl but will be at the Combine, if those three guys are off the board, I mean, start just doing a little numbers game. You got 17 pick other guys that got to come off before the Steelers pick. Without moving up, you're going to get a great player. I mean, there's so many different routes they could go. They could take, you know, Linderbaum at center. You know, there's multiple different tackles that are worthy of that 20 pick. You know, Charles Cross, you know, Evan Neal. I mean, there's even guys like, you know, I mean, I don't want to say that he could potentially fall, but even a guy like Kyle Hamilton, who I think is the best player in the draft,
If Kyle Hamilton's at 20 and you pass up – if you pass up Kyle Hamilton at 19, 18, 17, 16, all the way up to
– Everybody's getting fired.
That's every single
person. But you know what, though? I really like Hamilton, and I do think he doesn't have the injury concerns that this guy had. But Hamilton reminds me of Derwin James. That's the type of player that I think he is. I think he's going to be an absolute superstar at the next level. But, you know, you just never know. I mean, the positional value, like certain teams, like the Steelers have showed that, like, they're a little bit controversial about positional value, right? They just took a running back in round one. They've taken a safety in Terrell Edmonds in round one. They traded up to get a middle linebacker in round one. They don't give a damn about positional value at all. Now, other teams, though, you know, picking inside the top 10, they're going to look and see, all right, do I need this generational talent at safety or do I need this franchise left tackle? They might weigh that left tackle. Even if he's not as good of a player, they're going to say, I need this position more. It's not – it's stranger things have happened. That's all I want to say, I guess.
I don't know if stranger things – I mean, you could talk T.J. Watt maybe getting there, but even him, like, people didn't have him very high. I don't know. If Kyle Hamilton falls to 20, not buying Kyle Hamilton jersey before.
But I don't think but
no, there's zero chance. It'd be done. I'll have the jersey ordered at pick 9 when the Steelers are on the clock. They won't even pick yet. I'll have the jersey in the shopping cart ready to go. I just feel good. You know what I mean? To end this, I feel really good that after the Senior Bowl, we have some understanding. You know, it's a building block that we've been waiting for, because for a long time, it's just been like, okay, well, there's this, 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 and this, and we have no idea how anything's going to go. Now it's just like, okay. Things are starting to fold a little bit. Feeling really good. We're entering draft season.
And there's a lot of people, too, like in mainstream media, like the Daniel Jeremiah's of the world. Like, whenever it gets closer to draft time, there are certain analysts that you can look at and tell that have the NFL's ear that you'll be able to tell where guys like Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett are probably likely to go. They will tell us if they're going top 10 or if
I agree.
Going to have to trade up. So
I heard from a Daniel Jeremiah level source out in Mobile that the Panthers' interest in Kenny Pickett is as real as it comes, but also that's going to leave the door open for a lot of teams, including the Denver Broncos, possibly pushing real heavy for a trade for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, which could change a lot. And if Aaron Rodgers somehow ends up in Tennessee, which came out of nowhere, Ryan Tannehill is right on the trading block, and that's not an option for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I think it's an option for a lot of people. Why Big Jordan says Malik Willis is 6. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. I think that's a good way to end it right here. It's a great time to start draft season, which is where we are. We're feeling real good. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk. Check out the page tomorrow morning, when we're giving away a Deontay Johnson jersey and a Damani Dotson signed mini helmet, both in the video that will be pinned to the top of the YouTube page. This is a lot to say real quick. You have about another 2 hours or so to comment on the video that's up now to enter to win both of those, so make sure that you do that. And before we head out, make sure that you use our promo code at manscaped.com. That's All Steelers to get 20% off. Plus free shipping. It's draft season, baby. We're feeling real good, and we'll see you next week.